Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing everyone here this evening. Please be with those who have lost loved ones. Please heal those who are sick. Please guide this meeting this evening. Please watch over our nation. Please watch over our military. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. The city of Kirby is committed to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our city secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Here.
Councilmember Apodaca? He did order to let you work out with the city. Councilmember Salazar?
Here.
Councilmember Dreyer?
Here.
Councilmember Hernandez?
Here.
Councilmember Rossi?
Here.
Mayor Pierce?
Here. We will move to item 5, citizens' participation. We have 4 individuals signed up this evening. The first one is Deborah McMillan. You're signed up twice for announcements and beautification.
I was not born or raised here. I transferred due to BRAC 1, the base realignment and closure. Some of my children grew up here. One graduated from Judson and is now a Marine Corps retired veteran. And 6 of my children have visited here. After 29 years of service with the Department of Defense, my service included various geographical locations in the United States and overseas, as well as temporary duty assignments for periods of time away from my home base. I served as an EEO counselor, and I raised my children. Opportunities to become involved in the community were limited. After I became a widow and retired from the Department of Defense, I did engage. I served on a nonprofit board, a city committee, and even ran for city council. I became involved with the Wagner Band Boosters and traveled with them. And I'm currently involved in another nonprofit in the community and have served as chaplain and trustee. I was in attendance at the 11 February 2016 Parks and Rec and City Council meetings when copies of this flyer advertising a website, KirbyWatchdog.com, were placed on windshields in the parking lot here on city property. Prior to this, on 12 March of 2015, the city secretary gave me a copy of the code of conduct for boards, committees, and commissions. During 2016 and 2017, another individual who is serving on various boards, committees, and commissions, had a sign in his yard with the same graphics as this flyer, advertising a website designed to attack an individual in the community. In reality, several residents were targeted, and I was one of those residents. Also, during this time, 2 city council members had the same signs in their yards. One later became mayor, and the other, Kimberly Aldrich, who is currently seeking the mayoral seat, had a sign in her yard. Ms. Aldrich may have known of me, but she did not know me or the content of my character. While out of state for a month, attending personal matters, I was still being attacked on this website. This was March of 2017, 1 year later. I was also informed that if I didn't like it, I could move. This was 5 years ago, and it has been shown that this declaration is still in use. I understand citizens' reluctance to become involved in the community, as they too may fall victim to such egregious behavior of elected officials, city staff, whose salaries are paid with our tax dollars, and members of boards, committees, and commissions. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, the second one is Mr. Roger Roman, Code of Ethics.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. At the February 12th, 2015 Council meeting, then Council Member Faulkner moved to accept, and by unanimous vote, Council enacted the Code of Ethics for boards, commissions, and committee members. Before the vote, as recorded in the meeting minutes, the city manager stated, and I quote, "The behavior of appointed officials represents and reflects the city of Kirby. If the code of ethics is violated, the official could be removed by council. This, in my opinion, needs to be revisited, as our current council has only one seated individual that was serving when this was enacted, and that would be our mayor, Lisa Pierce. The code of conduct for board, commission, and committee members. During meetings, board, commissions, and committee members shall preserve order and decorum, shall not interrupt or delay proceedings, and shall not refuse to obey the requests of the presiding officer or any procedures and policies adopted by the city of Kirby. Members shall demonstrate respect and courtesy to each other, to city staff members, and to members of the public appearing before them. Members shall refrain from rude and derogatory remarks and shall not belittle other members, city staff members, or members of the public. Members will not use their position to secure privileges and shall avoid situations that create a perception of bias or partiality in regard to a question before them. Members will not condone any unethical or illegal activity. All members agree to uphold the intent of this policy and govern their actions accordingly." Down below were the individual signs and dates. It states, "I recognize that any violation of this policy may result in my removal and could prevent future appointments." Sadly, the words codifying the behavior of individuals volunteering their service for the good of their community is not adhered to by some on this esteemed council. Prior to the adjournment of the last council meeting, an 8-plus minute verbal attack was addressed to the elephant in the room. I am the elephant in the room. My children may be the elephant in the room. My neighbors may be the elephant in the room. Any resident may be the elephant in the room. Asking the wrong questions, identifying wrongdoings, raising serious issues may make one the elephant in the room. I speak from experience, along with my minor children, as I have been subjected to this cancel culture type of attack. It was supported by numerous council members, selected city senior staff, as well as members of boards, committees, and commissions. By making a statement and then adjourning the meeting, Madam Mayor, you are speaking for the entirety of the city. If members of this council sit on their hands and say nothing, then their character is also defined by someone else's words. Being a leader in an organization is not always easy, and taking a stand for what you believe to be right takes courage, but it will earn the respect of many residents. Thank you.
And I will respond to that because I'm also the elephant in the room, attacked by personally you and your little group. So again, I've been in your situation, so again, I'm speaking from experience as well. And Ms. McMillan, if you can confirm who you were speaking to as far as somebody who had the sign-in, you said that became mayor. That wasn't me, for anybody who wants to know that. I never had a Kirby Watchdog sign in my yard. So just in case anybody had a question, was not me.
I don't really think we need to defend ourselves.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying. All right, and since we're on that, I will make a statement as far as the boards and commissions. This past Sunday, a local restaurant hosted an Easter event. Several candidates for office attended, and the Kirby Senior Center was also selling raffle tickets at this event from a table displaying political signs for several candidates running for office. As a nonprofit organization within the city limits of Kirby, who often receive donations from residents and other governmental entities, I would ask that the Kirby Senior Center Board publish an official statement identifying the candidates they are endorsing for office, since we're talking about ethics and those kinds of things. All right, we will move on to Sharon Schuler regarding item 10, Springfield. Do you want to speak now?
I'll talk now.
All right.
Here's Council, Monique and Patty. I hope you and all your family are doing well. I'm excited to be able to come back to Council. I'm fully vaccinated from the COVID-19 virus, so I can start coming and participating once again. So I'm glad to be able to come here tonight. I am concerned about the Springfield property. I would like to say that Big Boy Hauling behind my property has been a very good neighbor. I have no complaints about him. The only thing that myself and my neighbors are concerned about is this drain swell that's supposed to be put in. We're just kind of wanting to know, and I know you can't give me an answer because I'm in the comments section, but I'm hoping that sometime y'all can address the timeline for when this may be completed. Right now it looks like it's just a sidewalk running behind our houses, and it's not really holding any water back or anything. And I need to redo my backyard and my front yard from the storms 2 years ago where it washed out my yard, and I really don't want to go to the expense until I know that the drain swell will be completed. And I also would like to say that I got my property bill tax today, and I do know that our taxes did go up for the city of Kirby. So maybe now we can put some more of that money into some of the things that we need to do, and I know that the council will choose wisely. I know that y'all are not criminals. I know that y'all don't have your hands in the coffer. I know that we have auditors that come and they check all of our monies. So I know that the money will be used wisely, and I have no issue with my tax money. Thank you.
The next individual is Mr. Harold Shaw regarding item 10, which is also Springfield. Would you like to speak now, Mr. Shaw?
Mayor, City Council, thank you very much for allowing me to speak. I'm still concerned. I need some answers. I don't know if I get them from the City Council or I get them from Monique. I took some pictures. I did fail to bring them in and show them all to you. I didn't have enough copies. They're in my truck. I only had like one or two, so I can't bring them all in and put them out. But I took some pictures in my backyard beyond my fence that I was told that if I do step out there, I'm trespassing. Is that true? That's one question. The second question I have, the weeds are getting taller than my six-foot fence. Okay, I can take care of those if I'm allowed to. That's another question. Okay, there's question number two. And the picture that I took, and I know with Sharon's area, the guys are doing a really good job of cleaning their area up, maintaining everything. But the property right next to mine to the left, their fence goes all the way to their privacy fence and is locked in. So you can't get out. And then on their privacy fence, they put up, I guess what do you call it, 3-foot chicken wire type, and they put up their black mesh material right up against the fence. So there's no way they can go out that the backyard in the alley area that's supposed to be the easement and mow it and keep the animals from coming in. Because I've had two possum scales in my backyard already. Where they came from, I don't know. I do have dogs. But where the possum scales came from, the skeletons, I have no idea. But my main concern is, who's going to maintain that property? Is there an easement? We can't have 8 to 10 feet weeds high, tall, Dan Nell trees growing up against our fence. It's not safe. It's not medically right. It's a danger factor. But my question is, and I need answered, who takes care of that property? Do I get arrested from going out and cleaning up that area, or do I not? Those are the questions that need to be answered. And they need, not just from me, but from my neighbors on both sides of me and down the street. The only one that's taking care of them is the first section off of Ben Zingerman? Yeah, off of Ben Zingerman. They're doing a really good job. The other ones, they did build a fence, you know, away from the easement, a nice-looking fence. They spent some good money on it. But still, the grass is still growing all the way to our fence lines, and they're still tacked into our fence lines. They didn't bolt into our fence post, but they bolted 2 inches away. So there's no way you can go. I'm also concerned about the way they made the drainage. I was born and raised on concrete. They didn't know exactly what they were doing. I am not an engineer, don't get me wrong. I am not an engineer. But if you want water to flow this way or this way, you don't put lines in it this way to slow the water process down. That's top of my head, stupid idea. Excuse me, but that's how it really is. I mean, that's how I talk, and I apologize for that, but that's what it is. But my main concern is the safety of our community, the safety of our houses, the safety of our fences, because when weeds get in there, it's going to rot in the wood, and then you have to replace the wood. And then if you replace the fence, are we trespassing again? Are we going to get a ticket? Are we going to get a fine because we're getting trespassing? So if the code compliance, Monique needs pictures, I've got them as much as last week. And I don't think anything's changed. I can check again every week if y'all want. But that's my main concerns, safety and health.
Thank you. I just want to ask you, the silk fence, the little black mesh, is it still there as of today? That's all
known? You're talking about the
black fencing?
Oh, yeah. It's like, for example,
this is our privacy fence, and right on the other side, like this piece of paper right here, that's where they got the fence, and that's where they got the meshing, all the way across the backyard. So there's no way they can open up their gate and mow, trim, that's
edge.
That's to be removed, and that's why I asked. It was supposed to be removed by today.
So
that's all I needed to know.
I was out there a week ago. I can recheck it tonight when I go home.
We can,
but I got pictures to show you where it's actually at.
As far as the trespassing issues, you can speak with our interim police chief, and they can look that up. And then our code compliance officer is here this evening, so after the meeting, I'm sure that they can address those questions to you.
I have to ask my wife sometimes because I don't hear with a hoot.
Sorry. Thank you. McMillan has signed up to speak again. Our ordinance says that you do it all in the first 3 minutes, but if anybody has wants to make a motion for her to be allowed to speak, so do it.
I'll make a motion.
All right.
I'm saying it.
We have a motion by Councilmember Martin, seconded by Councilmember Hernandez, to allow Ms. McMillan to speak. Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Yes. Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Ryder?
Yes.
Councilmember Hernandez?
When I paid my water bill last month, I noticed that two well-established live oak trees were removed from the parking lot. These trees provided shade, cleaned the air, along with protecting buildings from harsh winds and rains, and may be beneficial in preventing soil erosion. I have personally had mature trees removed from my property, and it is quite expensive. I'm requesting response from council as to why these trees were cut down, the cost to the taxpayers, who was responsible for this action, and will they be replaced? Thank you.
Thank you.
It did.
Them removed. It was paid for out of the maintenance budget within the building maintenance for City Hall.
All right. We will move to item six, consideration of an action on the regular meeting minutes of March 25th, 2021. I will entertain a motion.
I make a motion to accept the minutes.
I second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Martin, to accept the regular meeting minutes of March 25th, 2021. Is there any discussion? Will our city secretary, oh no, actually, all in favor, please raise your right hand.
Hold your right hand up.
All right, we will move to item 7A, employee of the quarter. I will turn this over to our interim police chief.
Good evening, everyone. We are here tonight to celebrate a very special person, Corporal Donna Lackey. Can you step up here? Donna Lackey, who has been with our agency for 15 years, he has evolved over the last 2 years to be a leader that can be counted on, not only by his recruits, but also by me and the administration staff. Corporal Lackey would be easily described as a steadfast, a dedicated, and committed employee. He has an overall attitude and demeanor that has embraced the practices of devoting themselves to the lifestyle of a law enforcement leader while taking faith in the outcome. What is the definition of a great leader? Learn, empower, adapt, delegate, engage, reflect, and importantly, to serve. Great leaders don't tell people what to do, but instead take them to where they need to be. Corporal Lackey has no agenda to create a group of followers, but instead understands that success means we all have to work collectively. One person does not win a war, an election, or a baseball game. Everything that we do in law enforcement is a team approach where each person understands the organizational goals and the roles they play. Corporal Lackey currently supervises 11 of our full-time employees. All those employees have different personalities, different backgrounds, and different interests. He handles them all with care, love, compassion, and a sternness at times. He has taken on an expanded role in the department administration without fussing or complaining and has made himself a valuable member of my command staff. His willingness to learn and adapt has made him a reliable and trustworthy part of my team. As we all know, law enforcement is not a typical 9-to-5 job. Corporal Lackey can probably count on one hand the times he has been able to attend personal functions like Thanksgiving, Christmas, his own personal children's birthdays, and family functions. The sacrifices he's had to make in his personal life for the sake of our citizens show his unrelenting commitment to humanity. But why do this job? Why this career field? It was a choice to serve this community, a choice to dedicate his time and energy to protecting those who can't fend for themselves, a choice to lead a younger generation to have integrity, ethics, and professionalism in this difficult and unstable field of work. Corporal Lackey is a field training officer for our agency, which is a task in itself. On top of that, handles the schedules, reads all reports, which can take hours or days. does uniform and vehicle inspection, disperses and instructs on new policies, takes on the importance of following rules and procedures. He's a mentor during hard times, and even with all that, still comes to do his job with a smile on his face and a welcoming attitude. Corporal Lackey, you have taken on my challenge to be successful and exceeded my expectations. Thank you for everything that you've done for me and our team. You have made coming into work a pleasure, and it's been an honor serving with you.
Short enough, you can just duck.
Somehow I always get in between their elbows.
Corporal Lappy, Corporal Lappy, I want to thank you, congratulate you, and thank you for your service. We appreciate it.
You want to say a few words?
See you on the street.
Corporal, yeah, you live in our city, that's so wonderful, and I know how hard it is to be a police officer inside the city that you live in. I did it for 15 years myself, and you have a lot of people that are critical of you and everything that you do, but you know what, all I've seen from you is nothing but professionalism, and I know your feeling. Thank you.
Thank you. Corporal, same thing. You know, I started here in 75 when I first started this department. And living in your own city is tough. But one thing, brother, we have your back.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And as I say all the time, thank you for choosing Kirby.
Thank you. I see you on the street.
We'll move to item 7B, introduction of new employees.
Come back again. I'd like to introduce two new employees. We actually have a new animal control officer who right here, Alyssa Rodriguez. She's super enthusiastic, super happy to be here, which I love. She also has this unique ability to train. She's been trained to train dogs, train animals. But man, it's nice to have somebody come in and be like, yeah, I love it here. You know, it's super exciting. It's a great experience. So I welcome her to our team. I appreciate you. Thank you. The next employee, we hired another full-time police officer. Her name is Gloria Lewis, and she's behind us right now. Come on up. Now, she has some previous experience with Bexar County. That's where she got her peace officer license. She also worked as a detention officer over there. She also worked at Precinct 2 as well. She has come on over here and chosen our team. She brings a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of a smile, and I'm excited to work with her.
Of you, and again, thank you for choosing Kirby. We know that there is lots of other opportunities out there.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, council members, citizens. On behalf of the entire Public Works Department, I'd like to inform you that we have, in fact, just brought on board two additional water personnel. One of them is here with us this evening. This is Mr. Armando Marquez. And the other gentleman, Mr. Rick Vasquez, was unable to be here with us this evening, but we do want to welcome each and every one of them.
Thank you very much. Last month or so. Two paramedics. One just got her fire certification. That would be Catherine Roby. Angela Nagel just got her paramedic, and she just started with us 2.5 weeks ago. Tim Gill, he came from San Antonio Fire. He just started a week ago. And then, Eli Camacho started about 2 months ago as well, and he's an EMT. We're still blessed to have them start with us.
Well, thank you very much. Okay. Maybe we can have them introduced at the next meeting. All right, we will move to item 7C, presentation on the City of Kirby proposed charter amendments on the May 1st, 2021 special election ballot. This is not a discussion item for council. Council should not be in opposition or for or against, so we will turn this over to our city manager.
Our city secretary is just pulling up a copy of the ordinance. Be a little difficult for people to read, but just know that all of those amendments are posted on the city website. Just as a bit of a recap, we convened our Charter Review Commission this past summer, and the city charter says that at least every 6 years we are going to convene a commission, and they have the responsibility of reviewing the charter, presenting a report to city council. Council then calls for an election that goes to the voters to decide whether or not the charter amendment passed or failed. So that election is scheduled as a special election for May 1st, and we have 15 propositions that are being proposed. You can access the entire city charter also on our website and the code of ordinances if you want to be able to read the entire section, but I am just going to briefly go over what the actual propositions are. So this is the way that they will appear on the ballot. We are just doing this for information purposes. The only requirement that we have is to publish it in the newspaper, and it will come out next Wednesday, the 14th, and the following Wednesday, the 21st, in the Northside Herald newspaper, which is the City of Kirby newspaper of record. And so anyone who wants to get that copy and read it in its entirety is welcome to do that. So starting with the very first proposition number one, it asks, should sections 2.06, 2.08, 5.03, 5.04, 5.10, 7.04, and 10.10 of the city charter be amended such that whatever the word he is used, the text is changed to read he or she, and wherever the word his is used, the text is changed to read his or her. And you'll have the options there to vote yes or no. Proposition number two, should section 2.05 of the city charter be amended to provide that the mayor shall vote on every proposition before the council, rather than that the mayor may vote on every proposition before the council, so that the text of the second sentence of section 2.05 should read as follows: the mayor shall vote on every proposition before the council, but have no power to veto. Again, you'll select yes or no. Proposition number three, should section 2.06b4 of the city charter be amended to provide that if the mayor or any council member fails to attend three consecutive regular council meetings and fails to resign, then city council is to vote at its next regular meeting on a declaration that the office of such person is vacated and shall be filled as set out in the city charter, so that section 2.06b4 be revised to read as follows: 4, fails to attend three consecutive regular council meetings and fails to resign, then the city council shall at its next regular meeting vote on whether to declare the office to be vacant, with the declaration to be passed if it receives the vote of at least 3/4 of the members of the city council. Any such vacancy shall be filled as set forth in section and subsection below of this section 2.06. We will vote yes or no. Proposition number 4, should section 2.06b of the city charter be amended to add a provision as to the process for appointment of a person to fill a vacancy on the city council in the event that the appointment or election of a member of the city council as mayor, so that the following new sentences are added as the new second and third sentences in section 2.06b. If a vacancy on the council is created by the appointment or election of a member of the council as mayor, then the council shall fill the vacancy within 30 days of the occurrence of the vacancy by a majority vote of the remaining members of the council by selection of a person qualified for the position as described in the charter. The newly appointed elected mayor will not have the option to submit a nominee to fill the vacancy. Yes or no. Proposition number 5, should section 2.13 of the city charter be amended to add a provision stating that in addition to publication of an ordinance which deals with the public utility or the setting of their rate or levies a fine or penalty, the ordinance shall be posted on the official city website, so that the following new sentence is added after the fourth sentence in section 2.13. In addition, the ordinance shall be posted on the official city website. Yes or no? Proposition number 6. Should section 3.04 of the city charter be amended to provide that the compensation of the city attorney be fixed by the city council as opposed to being fixed by the city manager, so that section 3.04 would read as follows: the city council shall appoint a competent and duly licensed attorney practicing law in the state of Texas who shall be the city attorney. He or she shall receive for his or her services such compensation as may be fixed by the city council, and shall hold office at the pleasure of the city council. The city attorney or such other attorney selected by him or her with the approval of the city manager shall represent the city in all litigation. He or she shall be the city attorney and counsel for the city and all officers and departments thereof. Yes or no? Proposition number 7, should section 4.01A of the city charter be amended to conform to a change in state law and provide that regular city elections be held on the first Saturday in May proposition number 8.
Can I ask a question about that? So in the event that, just say, whatever reason, it gets voted down, it will still be changed, though, for us to reflect it, correct?
It would still always be, we wouldn't actually change it in the charter, but the election date would still be that first Saturday in May, just because that's what the law says. So we wouldn't actually change it to the charter if they voted down.
Okay. Would there be an ordinance or something so that later on, like if, and nobody knew that? Would we, to make some kind of reference that?
Well, there's already a section in the charter that talks about how nothing can be in conflict with state law,
right.
So it really would be covered there.
Okay.
But we could, go back and establish an ordinance, and it would probably make sense to say that the election would be held on this date or be changed immediately in the event that the state law changes the election date. That would probably make sense. Proposition number 8, should section 4.02 of the city charter be amended to remove the provision that prevents a current elected office holder from filing for election to a different office, so that section 4.02D would read as follows. D, no candidate may file for more than one office per election. Vote yes or no. Proposition number 9, should section 4.02 of the city charter be amended to delete subpart E, which currently reads, no employee city shall continue in such position after filing for an elected office of the city. Because section 150.041 of the Texas Local Government Code provides that a municipality may not terminate employment of an employee solely because the employee became a candidate for public office. So I want to point out on here, it currently reads no employee city. I think that was probably a typographical error, but that is how it was adopted, so it stays that way. So when looking at this, the commission was looking to correct the typographical error, but then we learned from our city attorney that state law now prohibits from having that rule anyway. So if a current employee were filed to run for office, at one point you would have been able to ask them to deny or terminate their employment. You're not allowed to do that now. So this, again, will be coming into compliance with state law.
So an employee, technically an employee could be a sitting member?
Couldn't be a candidate for their, for city, office per se, but they would, because that's in the personnel office.
Right.
But let's say I wanted to go run for state representative, I could maintain my employment and go do that. Proposition number 10, should section 6.04C of the city charter be amended to add a requirement that the proposed or referred ordinance be posted on the official city website, so that section 6.04C would read as follows, publication of proposed and referred ordinance. The person performing the duties of city secretary shall publish at least once in the official newspaper of the city the proposed or referred ordinance within 15 days of the election. Shall post the proposed or referred ordinance on the official city website within 15 days of the election, and shall give such other notices and do such other things relative to such election as are required in general municipal election or by the ordinance calling said election. So this is just adding the city website in addition to the newspaper. So we're currently required to publish in the paper. This would be adding that it would be published in the paper and on the official city website. Proposition number 11, should section 7.03C of the city charter be amended to add a requirement that the proposed budget be posted on the official city website, so that section 7.03C would read as follows. C, public notice and hearing. The council shall post at City Hall, post on the official city website, and publish in the official newspaper of the city at least one time a general summary of the proposed budget and a notice stating, one, the times and places where copies of the budget are available for inspection by the public, and two, the time and place for the public hearing on the budget. Again, that's adding the addition of the website posting in addition to the newspaper. We do it now anyway, but this is just making it a requirement. Proposition number 12, should section 7.01 of the city charter be amended to remove the requirement to publish a summary of the elected shall have no personal interest directly or indirectly in the financial affairs of the city or any of its officers. Upon completion of the audit, the summary thereof shall be posted on the official website of the city immediately, and copies of the audit shall be placed on file in the city secretary's office as public records. And again, this is just adding the website as a posting requirement. Proposition number 13, should section 11.03 of the city charter be amended to provide that a board or commission member may not continue in such position after being elected or appointed to an elected office of the city, rather than when such person files for an elected office of the city, so that section 11.03 would read as follows: no member of a board or commission shall continue in such position after being elected or appointed to an elected office of the city. So our current charter says that in order to file for an office, you must resign from a board or commission. This would allow a person to remain until if and when they are elected. Proposition number 14, should section 11.044 of the city charter be amended to provide that the zoning commission should annually prepare or review the comprehensive plan of the city rather than the general plan of the city, so that section 11.044 would be as follows: annually prepare or review the comprehensive plan for the city and recommend to the council any changes. The current charter just calls it a general plan. The city of Kirby actually has a comprehensive plan, so this recommendation is to make the language match what we currently have our plan. And lastly, Proposition 15, should Section 12.11b of the city charter be amended to provide that the report of the Charter Review Commission be posted on the official city website, on the official website of the city, so that Section 12.11b would read as follows: action by the council. The council shall receive and have published in the designated official newspaper of the city and posted on the official website of the city any report presented by the Charter Review Commission, shall consider any recommendations made, and if any amendment be presented as of such report, shall order such amendment or amendments to be submitted to the voters of the city in a manner provided by the law of the state of Texas, as now or thereafter amended. Again, that is to be consistent throughout, so that everything that gets published in the papers also gets published on the official city website. Many things that we put there anyway, but they're not stated to be perfect. So again, those are all just a proposition that will be on the May 1st ballot as a special election. Just as a reminder, early voting starts April 19th, runs to the 27th.
And it is also on the sample ballot and the individual ballots again, so.
You take an hour and a half to vote.
Hopefully people do. Alright, we will need Officer Thompson. Yeah. Officer Thompson. I thought maybe that was your alarm. Alright, item 8A, discussion and possible action. Presentation and discussion on the City of Kirby code compliance process.
Okay.
You're up.
Okay, for anybody who doesn't know me, I am Megan Thompson, and I am the code enforcement officer in the City of Kirby. I've been with the City of Kirby almost 8 years now, and code enforcement 3 years, and I was on patrol all the years before that. I only have very few slides, but we're going to go into detail on them. So this is
Not doing it, is it? There you go.
Over that anywhere, we are in violation and we need to have that strip. Okay?
my yard. I can do what I want. I'm building something, stuff like that. So the property must be free of junk, debris, garbage, crap, salvage materials, tires, inoperable equipment, broken household equipment, and furnishings and other stockpile items. Now, the city does contract with Republic, and I do believe the starting for a bulk pickup with Republic is $25. Another thing that Republic does is if you go to Home Depot, they sell the Republic green bag, and with that purchase at Home Depot, you call the card that comes in that bag, and Republic will come and get it in your food every day through the Home Depot. Okay? The next thing is the residential right-of-way obstruction. Tree limbs under 12 feet and shrubbery over 4 feet at intersection have to be maintained and cut. Tree limbs have to be at least 12 foot off of the pavement, that is so vehicles and the fire equipment can get down the street without knocking anything off the vehicle. Also remember, sidewalks, those have to be cut 12 foot off as well. If your shrub is covering any portion of that sidewalk, it really needs to be cut off because if someone's walking down from the wheelchair, they're going to have to bypass that. We do not want them being on the sidewalk. We do not want them getting into the street, okay? Next one is the junk vehicle ordinance. Now, we had an amendment to the ordinance a couple of months ago, I believe. Now, a junk vehicle could be any part of the junk vehicle that is visible at any time of the year from a public place or public right-of-way is detrimental to the safety and welfare of the general public, tends to reduce the value of private property, invites vandalism, creates a fire hazard, is an attractive nuisance, creating a hazard to the health and safety of minors, produces urban blight, adverse to the maintenance and continuing development of municipality, and is declared to be a public nuisance. Now, Megan, what does that mean? Okay. So, I know. So, state law says if you do not have lawfully attached to your vehicle an unexpired license plate or valid motor vehicle inspection certificate, and the vehicle is wrecked, dismantled, or partially dismantled or discarded in the public street for more than 72 hours, 3 days, is considered a junk vehicle. That also includes if your tire is flat and your vehicle is out of the registration, that is inoperable because you cannot drive down the street legally with your flat tire.
Can I ask you a question? Does it also have to be minimum insured?
The state law does not say that.
Okay.
They do not recognize that, unfortunately.
That makes sense. Okay.
The next one is, now that's on public property, the street. Now, let's say in your driveway. I know a lot of residents here in the city of Kirby have a lot of those antique cars that have gone away from a little bit, and they get uncovered, the cover falls off them, and you know, they're not registered, and there's some flat tires and other things wrong with them. Private property, remember, I have 30 days. So it happens for 30 days for a junk vehicle on private property. Like you were asking, Mr. Roman, this is also with that commercial property that you're asking. I have to place a sticker on the vehicle and send a certified notice not only to the owner, but the property owner, tenant, and lien holder. So it has all of those. I have to send a 30-day notice to all those people. And then I wait 30 days, and in 30 days that vehicle is not moved, then I can go and have it towed. The next one is going to be unlawful parking. It shall be unlawful for any person to park unused vehicles in any street or public place for more than 72 hours. Okay, that was the change. It used to be 24 hours, and we had that change to 72 hours, 3 days. Or at any time for the purpose of storage, washing, greasing, or repairing such vehicles, except repairs
on the right path, because I've noticed in the city we have a lot of handyman mechanics in the city. That's fine, but if that project lasts more than 24 hours, that is a violation of the city ordinance and it needs to be taken to a body shop to be repaired. Or if you do it in your garage and we can't see it, you just can't do it in your driveway or on the street, okay? That's what the ordinance says. Now we've got stagnant water and for your pool. It shall be unlawful for any person owning or occupying any of those properties within the city to allow a permit, holes or places where water may accumulate and become stagnant to feed or remain on such lot on premise, or to allow or permit the accumulation of stagnant water therein, or to permit the same to remain therein. And that's for stagnant water, and we're going to get into swimming pools at the time. I would really encourage people to listen to this because actually today I looked a little bit more into this ordinance. I've always known it, but I haven't really paid not attention to the swimming pool, but it dawned on me and I did some research, and I'm going to tell you all today. So for the purpose of this subchapter, the storm swimming pool shall need and include any natural pool, pond, or lake having a depth at its point of greatest depth is more than 18 inches, so a depth of 18 inches, and having a width of 6 feet or more at its widest point, or any man-made or artificial pool, pond, or lake for life, depth, and dimension. So what I learned today with this is I got on Walmart.com, and I was like, I wonder how big those kiddie pools are, because I know we're going to start pulling out the kiddie pools. Well, the little round ones that are plastic that you can get at Dollar General, those are great. You can have them in your front yard, let the kids play. But I did notice that those blow-up ones with the three rings, if you're going to have them in the front yard, you're going to have to put a fence around it. That is, those are usually 72 inches wide and are 103 feet long, 72 inches wide and 6 feet. So according to this ordinance, if you're going to have them in the front yard, we're going to have to put a fence around it. Backyard is fine because we have in our backyard, of course, we all have fences around our yard, and that is fine. I just would say beware having your front yard. It is against the ordinance that you don't know what kid's going to be, you know, running down the street, doing whatever to see that pool get in and may not be able to get out. So that's that one. Okay, structural maintenance. 706, exterior wall. Okay, step foundation, exterior wall, floor, roof, windows, doors, and frame, and all exterior surfaces of every structure shall be maintained in a state of repair, sufficient to exclude rats, rodents, birds, vermin, or water intrusion. Peeling paint, cracked wood, plaster, broken glass, decayed wood, and other defective surface condition shall be repaired, replaced, or restored. Garage doors shall be capable of being closed, reasonably closed, properly attached, and exterior surface maintained, weatherproof as required to prevent deterioration. As I drive around the city, I've noticed our community, we've been here a while. Our houses have been here a while, our families have been here, and over time, our paint is starting to crack. I would just encourage, you know, I see it all the time on social media. I hear it when I do come to these meetings that we want to keep Kirby beautiful. Well, we also got to start with the appearance of Kirby. And I believe that a facelift on some properties is probably a good thing, because you've got to think, the wood gold, we it's starting to rot, and our paint is peeling, and when that happens, the water's going to protrude into our siding, and a lot of the siding now is the plastic siding that we have, is the wood siding. So I would just encourage you to do a good scrape and a paint with some weatherproof paint, if y'all could. Oh, and I wanted to add to this one. I don't know if people know, but a little note. Residents must have their numeric address visible on the front of the property. Acceptable least 1-inch lock lever. It's really hard for me when I get a call to a house, and even when I was on patrol, getting a call to a house, especially at night and you have the spotlight and you're trying to find an address and you can't find it because there's no address posted. Even, you know, the mail, you know, has trouble sometimes when we can't find, you know, the address. So just remember that is in the ordinance, at least 1-inch block lettering. And if you're going to put it on your mailbox, it has to be reflective of that. Okay? Next one, fence replacement. Fences and walls shall be maintained in good condition by cleaning, painting, or replacing broken or damaged sections when required. Trash cans. I get this complaint a lot about trash cans. The contract that was signed pretty much several years ago by Mayor Pierce is that trash cans will be placed on the street Wednesday at 8 p.m. Trash cans must be removed from the street Thursday by 10 p.m. Also in that it says trash cans must be stored on the side of the residence. No exception. So when we place our trash cans in front of our garage because it's convenient, I understand. I don't pay too much attention to this if it's not on the street because there's bigger things happening currently with the code enforcement. But just remember, if you can, they are supposed to be on the side of your residence away from public sites this time people are traveling down the street.
And Officer Thompson, that was one of the things that we did talk about at our last meeting, so there will most likely be changes to the time, since 8 p.m. seemed a little late. But we, I do know that that was one of the things, so it went back to the original because when it got amended, the times were left out completely. So that will be something that will be changing.
And this is one of the things, the trash can, if it's out on Thursday on the curb and I drive by at 8 a.m., I don't mess with it as long as Friday, it is removed. That's just one of the things that I understand people go to work early. They're not going to get home until late. They may not get the trash can. And I can tell you my husband is the worst at it, putting that trash can. Okay, next one. Noise nuisance. It shall be unlawful for any person to intentionally or knowingly create, cause, permit, or allow to be created, caused, or committed a noise nuisance within the corporate limits of the city or within 5,000 feet thereof of any land, irritating, vexing, or disturbing noise that causes distress, annoyance, discomfort, or injury to one which interferes with the comfort and response of any person of normal nervous sensibilities in the vicinity of hearing thereof. So that means mufflers. You know, if you're going to go outside and you're going to start your car, like me, I have a loud muffler on of my vehicle. I know when I go outside at 5:45 in the morning and start my car, my neighbors are going to hear it. Thankfully, my neighbors are awake when I leave, so it's okay. But you got to be careful of that. I haven't had this in a while, but a couple years ago, we did have a complaint like this in the city that, you know, the neighbors. And then remember the erection, including excavation, demolition, alteration, or repair work on any building or other structure other than between the hours of 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. on weekdays. No construction on weekends. We learned that a couple years ago. Okay, and I wanted to add one last thing. This is the conclusion, but this question did come up, and I was actually unaware of it because it is in the animal ordinances, but something did come up, and we got a complaint, and we actually had a little bit for that. If you were walking your
only way he doesn't become a nuisance to other people. So walking on the street, dog needs to be on a leash. In the park, if it can do voice commands, it's good to go. If it can't listen to voice commands, it needs to stay on a leash. Does anybody have any questions for me?
Yes, ma'am. So first I want to say I know code compliance, you know, it's for you, I can understand, it's a tough situation, because, and also for the residents, because we want the city to be clean and, you know, like you said, beautified. But then again, I remember, for example, a couple years back, I remember watching on social media, you know, people were complaining, like, we need to clean up, where's code compliance? And then I believe stickers started being put on cars. And then people were like, why are they putting stickers on cars? We're like, well, what do you want them to do? You know, you wanted to clean up, right? So, but I do have several questions. So how many houses have a lien, let's say, in the past 3 years?
I cannot tell you that. You would have to get with financing team and she keeps those records.
Okay. Do you know about anything currently? Or any houses on lien?
We do have current liens out.
Okay. Okay, and how do you decide, like, so what's your route? Like, how do you decide where to go? Like, do you go block by block? How does that work?
For my code?
Yes, ma'am. Okay, and when you go, do you keep a record of the streets that you go on? Is there like a list? Do you have a... Okay, and are we still doing ride-alongs, or we stopped that because of COVID? Are we still doing that? So if I wanted to ride along with her, I could do that? Okay, I would like to do that. Okay, and thank you again, ma'am.
The lieutenant wants to say something.
Are going to get those, she does come in and violation or city ordinance violation monthly, and you'll be able to see her work throughout the month. We're doing the office work as well.
Oh, and one more question. So with, are you tied any way in with animal control? Like, do you guys?
If she needs help, I'll help her. If I see something mm-hmm. and I can handle it, I'll just handle it for her. And then I'll just let her know what it is. But it still goes into the Tyler system that myself or an officer finds a dog running at large and takes it over. If they take it in the car and takes it to the animal shelter, we'll help them with that as well.
Okay, thank you.
And
well, and I understand completely, because I did what you did it as a police officer. You know, I hope they do go ride with you, because they don't seem to understand that in certain days, there's other things more imminent than a grass complaint. There's other things more important than a vehicle parked on the street. So I understand you don't always start on the same place. You don't make up your day by route. It depends on the complaints, and then you go from there and you prioritize them. I understand that. And maybe if they do ride with you, they'll understand. Yeah, and another thing, it's good that the other officers are starting to help out. They should be doing this. That was the idea that Kimberly brought up, which was a good idea. Hey, let's get these officers to help her out. Because I know one person cannot completely do city ordinances and zonings and stuff. So, yeah, I know it's hard on you. And a lot of people a lot of citizens are going to complain, wow, she ain't doing nothing. Well, you know what? Go look at her workload, and then you tell me. But
I did look at it. I will say, I did look at it from last month to current of the 6th, April 6th. There was already 117 violations.
Yeah. And that's why I said, unless they don't ride with you, they don't know. So they need to ride with you to understand what you're going through and what it takes. Because I know what it is. But thank you for doing your job.
So just to be...
If I may, I just want to stress why it was so important to show these notice time frames. Mm-hmm. Because I get a lot of calls where people will say, on Monday, I reported this code issue. It's Wednesday, why hasn't it been addressed? Nobody's done anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's not true, because it does have a process. Some for longer. Sometimes people do comply when she goes back for the re-inspection. Sometimes they don't, and that's when it triggers the citation. Once that citation is written, then Officer Thompson and no one else in the police department or the city manager or anyone on city council has any authority to do anything with a citation. The citation then is the responsibility of the municipal court. So we also get a lot of calls here. I want the city manager to get rid of this citation. I do not have that type of authority. So that person can either pay it and comply, or they have the responsibility to come and plead their case to the prosecutor or the judge. And there are some that get multiple citations. I also get a lot of calls that says, I'm being harassed because I was written 5 citations for the same issue. The officer has every right to write multiple citations for a violation that you still failed to comply with, and then you will have to deal with every single one of those citations. So it's important, I think, you know, for everyone to understand that we want to be code compliant. We'd rather you comply so that we don't have to do code enforcement and then actually have to come out there and, you know, enforce it with those fees and fines and court and all these other issues. But you can always call and ask if something has been reported or what is the status of this item. They can go into the system and tell you it was reported on this date, a warning was given on this date, or a citation was issued on this date. Like you said, they comply, case closed, still pending. We have all of that information. So anyone is welcome to email or call and ask about a particular issue. But just know that it doesn't mean it wasn't addressed because it didn't magically go away overnight.
Ms. Rainier, I know you have questions, but I want to add on to that a little bit. When someone has citations for the same thing, I'm up there Monday through Friday giving a citation every day. We have a rule of thumb, there's one every week. So if you have five citations for the same thing, that means that it's been 5 weeks and it hasn't been addressed, and that's usually how a lien will start. We'll go in and cut it. Also on top of that, the ordinance does state, Mr. Martin, the witness, earlier today, if I've been to your house for day for rubbish, what happened earlier for rubbish, and I come back within 3 months, and it doesn't matter if it's the same object, but you have other rubbish out, I do not have to give you a 10-day notice. I can legally enforce it and write a citation.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
Back in that same situation, I drove up there, didn't know what was going on, and I heard you tell her what you told her. But back to the single-dwelling family.
I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Back to the single-dwelling family, there's at least 15 people living there, and they're living in the workshop, no water, no sewer.
Did you hear what I said to her today?
No, ma'am, I just heard you had 24 hours, and that's it. Yeah.
We're not going to pay the house, but we'll address it. At almost every single plot in the city of Kirby, if it is residential use, that is one single family dwelling unit. If you have a shed, you cannot have a person living in the shed. That is a shed, it is not a house. You put a bed, you put a sink and a toilet back there, that is great, but that is still not a house because the zoning ordinance unfortunately, on history, we are dealing with that issue. And that's not the only house that does it in the city of Kirby.
The mother-in-law shack doesn't work.
The mother-in-law shack does not work. There is only one resident in the city of Kirby that I'm aware of that has some special use permit that can actually do that. I'm aware of the one house, and it's been like that probably before any of us started working.
Well, what I'm glad, the way you're doing your job is you're looking for compliance. You're not looking to go straight out and cite somebody. That's the way, you know, police work should be done. You know, you're not out there to give everybody a ticket. You're not out there to arrest everybody. What you're looking for is compliance. And that's what's good about living in a small town. You're getting compliance. And without having to go through that. And of course, there's knuckleheads out there that ain't going to listen, so you have to do what you have to do. But which is good, because that, what you said about giving people a ticket that do not want to comply once a week, that's good, because that shows that you're looking for that compliance, not because technically you could give them, one ticket a day for each day of violation.
Yes, I said. But
yeah,
that's,
but
that's
I'm, like I said, I'm just giving you props, and we need to, not only you, but the officers too, you know, we need to look for compliance, and then the citizens will work with us a whole lot better.
Yes.
Yeah, but you're doing a good job, girl.
Member Zaitis.
Oh, no, I just want to make sure on the record to be clear that I'm saying that you're doing a great job. I'm not saying that you're not doing a great job. And I understand that, you know, you can go somewhere and write a report. You know, people think that it might just take, a report takes like 2 minutes. No, sometimes you can sit and write a report, it can take an hour to get the facts right and the details. So I do understand. And that's why I asked about the ride-along. So that is open to all citizens if they want to do that. Okay, great.
Any more questions?
One more. On animal noise in your yard.
Animal?
Your pets. Your pets.
Okay.
What's the limit, I guess? How long can it be?
Like they sense it barking?
Yeah, if they're barking in the backyard.
Okay, I created a form for animal control maybe a year ago. And, well, I got another form sheet maybe that I don't remember. But,
now, is that just for the night or through the day?
24 hours a day.
So your dogs can't bark?
Excessively or becomes a nuisance to someone.
Okay.
If a dog has a normal reaction to something, say 2 or 3 minutes, and then it settles down because, you know, it's gone, that's cool. But if it continues, there's dogs that just love to bark, like my neighbor.
Right. And then the other thing is farm animals in the street?
Mm-hmm. You talking about pigs in the street?
Chickens.
Chicks where? Okay, so you're asking questions about animal ordinances that I'm not 100% sure about. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to try to answer to the best of my ability. They are gone, okay?
Yes.
Chickens in the city. I believe you have to have at least 1,000 between your chicken coop and the next house.
Mm-hmm.
Most right. lots in the city of Kirby, unless you live on Ackerman or Katy, you're not going to have chickens because the lots are not big enough.
Yeah, I read that.
Do you know that houses have roosters? We are working on clearing those out with chickens. If they're running in the street, you need to call dispatch so animal control can go out there and catch them.
I was going to say, can we catch them? Yeah,
the House bill proposed right now in the legislative session that would allow residents of the city to have 6 chickens in their house, some rabbits, and one other animal.
Yes.
So,
cow.
Okay.
The house that I'm talking about is basically the same size as mine.
Why don't you call me tomorrow and we'll discuss it, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Are
you
all
good?
Good.
All right.
Thank you.
See you again.
Thank you.
I'm going to get about 50 chickens for my house.
All right. It's 8:30 right now. We have quite a bit more. Do you all want the recess before? Okay. So we will recess for 10 minutes and then resume.
Nice, Lisa.
I just want to make sure y'all want to recess. All right, it's 8:49. We will resume the meeting. We are still on the meeting of April 8th. Just want to make sure nobody thinks it's a different day. All right, we will move to item 8B, update, discussion, and possible action on San Antonio Water Systems, also known as SAWS, sewer rates for the city of Kirby and current customer costs. This did come up at a previous meeting, and it was agreed that we would put this on an agenda. So we'll turn it over to city manager. So what we are required to do is have to submit a report to them every month, and then they bill us based on that expenditure in that month. Now, one thing that we also did was we pulled current fees from other cities just to look at an example. We looked at Commerce, Live Oak, Universal City, and just to see kind of where we are. And we are pretty comfortable. We're actually the lower of all of those listed. We did expand more by Live Oak that they are actually about to do a 9% increase that taking effect April of 2021. And then Universal City actually put out a report in their newsletter back in August of 20 that showed their rise rate increases that they have approved over time. So it's not that we're the only, community facing this, because all of us that are paying SAWS, we have those increases that they have on us. So I had mentioned before that we needed to start looking at the potential of increasing those fees, because we are not the maximum on the customer each time the SAWS sacrifice an increase to us. But we went ahead and I had the staff run like a financial analysis from the last two fiscal years just to look at what we're being billed, or what we're actually billing our customers, and what SAWS is billing us.
for the November, so if your bill went up, it is strictly because of the sewer avenue that you have used in your household.
And Monique, can I stop you? And I also wanted to mention, because some people say, but I have gray water, that the system is not capable. When you open your faucet, it doesn't know whether or not that water is actually going into the sewage or if it's going into your grass to water it. So the system, if you turn on your faucet, it's just presuming that that's when it's calculating to go in. So those sewer charges are going to be based on your water use, because that's another thing people are like, but I don't even go into the sewer. Unfortunately, there's nothing that shows that the water didn't go into the sewer.
So as of right now, we're not losing money, but are we saying that next fiscal year we could be, like, so is it?
With the figures that you gave, we're probably 18 or 22% to the good at this time. So even if they went 9, we'd still be to the good. Because if you take, it's close.
We are above.
Yeah, if you take from the billing and you take $630,000 from a million and something, you're probably about 18, so right around 18%.
Motion to leave it the same.
But as you were saying, I guess that we're going to be at the mercy of SAWS until they decide to go up on the rates,
yes.
And then that's probably when it's going to affect us, and we may not have a choice.
Yes.
But
the good thing would be, now that we've run that analysis and we know exactly what it
where
is,
you stand, yeah.
If they come back and say, okay, we're going to increase by 3%, we can add 3% and say, oh, okay, we're still okay.
Yes.
They come back and say, okay, we're going to increase
problem.
Then if you match that, and then we wouldn't get so far where we start calling you time.
Right.
When we know we need to make an inquiry, do it at that time rather than waiting a period of 5 or 10 years until it gets to a point where you're so far behind that you have to take the customer before you get an inquiry.
So my question is, do we need to... How can I say this? So you're saying it's not necessary at this time, but it is coming.
Yes.
So do we need to go ahead? I mean, my thing is, I'm just worried about, like, if we wait to the last minute, then all of a sudden, boom, it's like a big...
It's
like, so
it's
can
not
you...
Not gonna be
what they do in that situation is they always notify us in advance when the interest is coming. And what they have historically been doing is going to get a phase.
You just match them on their increase, but the percentage. See, they never do it. A big, I know what you're saying. It normally comes in like three phases, 2 to 3 phases. They say if it's 9%, it goes 3, 3, 3. Okay? So you have that amount of time to figure it so that you just offset it each time so that you balance it out.
It is a 10. Sometimes, like, for example, if you look at the 2015, they increased by 93.
Yeah.
Well, and I have to tend to agree with Councilmember Greider because. All of this winterization and what happened with the winter storm, everybody, including CPS, SAWS was on board with that as well, that they were talking about that they were going to, because obviously they were not prepared either because everywhere they had water outages and they had to boil, the boiling notices, et cetera, and that affected anyone who had SAWS water. So I have to agree with Councilmember Greider as far as I'm not convinced that whenever they do it, that it will be in small increments. And at that point, if they come back when, like they did in 2016, I mean, I personally think this is something that probably the council should possibly look at every quarter, every 6 months, something to bring in the forefront to continue talking about it, just because I'm not convinced that they're not going to use that for their infrastructure because of what happened during the winter. To me, it just seems like an easy thing for them to do, especially with all the funding that's supposed to be coming in from the government. For infrastructure, I'm just not convinced that they're not going to throw it down to the suburban cities, which unfortunately, as we've mentioned before, Kirby has to pay the same amount, even though we don't use them for anything other than to treat the sewage, but we actually still maintain all of our lines, et cetera. But I think it's still something that should be in the forefront and not just wait for them to say, hey, it's time. I think it's something that the council and the staff should continue to just bring up just at the forefront and just to see if any of the cities have changed or, those percentages. I honestly believe that they possibly might. Like I said, because there was all kinds of talk from that board that they were, that the whole winter part was just devastating to them. Even though they make lots of money off of everyone, it was talking about their infrastructure just completely failed.
I just like to have what she got for a bonus.
But... I mean,
and we can bring back during budget workshops as well where we are for the current fiscal year.
Right.
But then we can see, how is it working now?
I mean, I just think that should be something that is continually talked about just for the fact that is a huge increase because, again, the sewage percentage is based on your water.
Right.
Our water is cheap. It's the sewer charge that's not cheap. And that's one of the things that, that everybody has the biggest problem with. It's not the water that's expensive, it's the sewage.
And if I can, I want to ask, I have come up in a place that had someone ask me, what was the what are they doing? What is law services doing when they're treating the sewer?
You know how that sounds? Do you really understand what how that sounds?
Mr. Ives.
Yes, Madam Mayor. The treatment of the waste is a very involved process. It is biological. Historically speaking, it is not chemical. So they treat it with air. They treat it by composting it. Different plants operate in different manners. So it depends on the type of plant that it actually is transferred to. But there are huge amounts of data that is required by the federal government to ensure that the water that or the liquid that is discharged from a wastewater facility is good for the fish to drink. And there have even been shows and people where the governor has put his glass under the tap water of the water leaving the wastewater facility and actually drank it. It is that clean, and it is required to be that clean. So there's the states, the cities, municipalities spend large sums of money to make sure that all of that is accomplished so that when that water goes into your lakes, into your rivers, into your streams, or just out into your recharge zones, there are some cities, I believe it's the city of El Paso, actually pumps their wastewater approximately 150 miles north of their town, and they pump it back down into the aquifer so you can turn around and drink it again. So you can imagine the amount of expense that these entities go to so that you can have good water. And that's where the majority of the expense is coming from with respect to the wastewater plants. Now, so not only do they treat it all, they also have to dispose of the solids that are accumulated as well. And as you know, your tipping fees, or rather your garbage trucks, when they dump in the landfill, they pay large sums of money to dispose of that waste. The same is true for the wastewater facilities. They also have to dispose of their solids. And so it depends on the state. It depends upon the area that these wastewater plants are located. Some of them dispose of their waste in landfills. Some of them have permits by the federal government, state government, and or local government so that they can dispose of their solids on the surface. And that can be applied to the cattle growing. There's no place that I'm aware of that will allow those solids to be applied directly to any type of human food consumption. And also, one other thing is that the wastewater plant takes huge amounts of electricity to produce the oxygen that the bugs thrive on in the wastewater plant. Very small lift station that serves a very small portion of the city, but that lift station takes the waste from that small section of city and pumps it into the larger pipes that run down Benzingelman and ties into the Saws wastewater line at that point down there around the area of the boat shop on Benzingelman.
Can you explain the lift real quick, a little bit in detail?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear
the
you.
The lift. Can you explain what it is exactly?
The what?
The lift.
The lift station.
Oh, the lift station.
Can you explain what it is?
What is it doing for us exactly?
The lift station is nothing more than a hole in the ground with two pumps in it, and it pumps it up from the lower portion of the hole, pumps it up, and pumps it down the line under a high-pressure line. So there's always pressure maintained in that line.
However, I would like to add that that is exactly the station that our Public Works Department, our director, made sure did not fail during the winter storm, because otherwise everybody would have had sewage backup. So that's how important that, I mean, even though it sounds like it's a small downplayed item, it's very important that it does not fail.
Yes, ma'am. During that storm, just to let you know, Mr. Hernandez, we babysat that because we lost some equipment there. We lost power. And so because we had no power, we were able to improvise and make sure that that station still maintained in running operable condition. We babysat that thing every 2 hours to 2.5 hours. Somebody was on site refilling the pumps that were operating there with gasoline. Yeah. And ensuring that nobody in that area would be affected negatively.
And that, those are the conversations and the phone calls that Monique and I were making to CPS to say, please hurry up, get power to that, because otherwise we would have been really in trouble.
I thought you were going to tell me that they had to sit there and pump it.
Is that something like up the creek?
No, the generators, they were actually having to watch it, though.
We did not have a generator on site, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That was a gasoline-driven pump.
That's what I meant,
And that's what we babysat for all those days that we had no power. Mm-hmm. We ensured that those trash pumps that pumped it up, that we brought on site from our facility, that they were maintained and they were operating at all times.
So basically it was manual.
24 hours a day, 7 minutes for the whole time. We were out there every 2.5 hours refilling the gasoline. But so that you're aware, we are currently in the process of obtaining a generator and having it installed at that site so that when we lose power again at that site, we won't have that issue.
Sounds good. Thank you, sir.
Sir.
That's what I was going to ask, if we could, yes. So do we want to skip C, or do we just want to finish C?
We can come back.
Okay, perfect. All right. So if council's okay, we will deviate from the agenda and move to the item for H, discussion and possible action on City of Kirby Well number 3 repairs, purchase and funding.
Sure enough.
All right. So we will H. So everybody received information from advance.
How much? How long?
A lot.
I know. That's my point.
If you want to start, that's fine.
Okay. Madam Mayor, council members, item H is the discussion and possible action on the City of Kirby Well number 3 for the repairs for the possible purchase and possible funding for the well. We have lost that well. During the storm, I believe, is when we actually lost the motor for that well, and as subsequent actions were taken to evaluate the well, to evaluate the pump, the motor, the everything. So once we did that, we found other issues regarding that particular well. So yes, while we lost the motor, fairly large expense, there's worse news to come. And at that point, I will be very happy to turn it over to Mr. Sean with Advanced Well and let him speak. We do have some slides to show you. He can speak to the issue of the slides, and he